This is Logan Sekulow. Obviously, today we're talking about the elections as the left melts down as Republicans regain control.
Keeping you informed and engaged, now more than ever. This is Sekulow.
Alrighty, Virginia, we won this thing!
We want to hear from you. Share and post your comments or call 1-800-684-3110.
On day one, we're going to work. We're going to restore excellence in our schools. We will invest the largest education budget in the history of the Commonwealth. We're going to invest in teachers, new facilities, special education. We're going to introduce choice within our public school system.
And now your host, Logan Sekulow.
I want to hear from you. I know a lot of you were waiting up last night to watch the Virginia election, something I never thought I'd say because, you know, I didn't know that the world cared. But because of certain statements made, I would say, by the Democrats, by specifically our vice president, all of a sudden, Virginia became a big deal. So let's lead with that. That's bite 7 from Vice President Kamala Harris.
Because you see, what happens in Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
Well, you heard that. What will happen in Virginia will largely influence what's going to happen in 2022 and 2024 and beyond. Well, if that's the case, Than, I'm going to go to you straight in Washington, D.C. If that's the case, we're going to have an interesting couple of years.
Yeah, and it should be the case, Logan. I mean, look, we talked a lot yesterday about Virginia, and Republicans in Virginia last night overperformed by about 12 points, cruising to the Virginia governorship. Logan, we didn't really talk that much about the New Jersey governorship yesterday because it wasn't supposed to be close at all. Well, it's still too close to call. Let me just say this at the outset. There's a lot of things we could get in here, too, but based on the soundbite that you just played from the vice president, here's the other thing that it should mean, Logan. It should mean that the Biden agenda, specifically the reconciliation bill, is dead in Washington, D.C. Clearly, voters don't like that agenda. I'm not sure that's what it's going to mean short term, Logan, but that's what it should mean.
And it was full meltdown on CNN. I loved watching it. It was a blast. I mean, there was one point where they just showed the map and there was like almost an explicit moment of Jake Tapper just being like in shock at the results between the 2020 election and now the 2021 election for governor of Virginia. You're right. New Jersey, still too close to call. And the fact that that's even the case is shocking. And also, I could see it happening, which is they realized Virginia was lost very quickly. And when they realized Virginia was going to a Republican, all of a sudden, because we didn't talk about New Jersey, most people didn't. All of a sudden, New Jersey became a talking point. Like, let's check out what's going on in New Jersey. And when that started to get a little close, really everything started to unravel.
That's right. They normally don't even do national coverage of a governor race in a state like New Jersey because it is so solidly for the Democrat Party. But when it was so close, like you were saying, you were seeing these personalities and anchors on CNN and MSNBC and all these other networks start to get nervous and what's going to happen here.
It's fun.
And we got some sound we'll play later in the show about how some of those meltdowns played out on air and some of the disingenuous nature of some of these media outlets during these this special election night coverage. But I think that you put it right. It's showing something even earlier than the midterms about the way that places are thinking about the Biden agenda. And we're going to get into some of that as well.
Yeah, I'm not sure we have this bite from Biden, but I have the text pulled up. This happened just a few days ago. Joe Biden said, I think we're going to win Virginia. And he said, I don't believe I've seen any evidence that whether or not I'm doing well or poorly or whether or not I've gotten my agenda passed or not is going to have any real impact on winning and losing. Even if we had passed my agenda, I wouldn't claim we won because Biden's agenda passed. So clearly hedging some bets there, but by saying this shouldn't be a problem. My approval rating shouldn't be a big issue for people. Well, clearly that's wrong. I want to hear from you. What do you think this means? Are you excited? Are you at least amped up for another political season? Because we got one more year now till the midterms. Let's give us a call. 1-800-684-3110. I want to hear from you. If you're in Virginia or New Jersey, look, I'll prioritize your calls. But if not, call around the country. I'd love to hear from you and your thoughts on this. 1-800-684-3110. As Will said, we got some bites to play. We are in the middle of our matching challenge, so check out the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Those who've been watching online, you just got to see a great supercut of essentially the CNN's and MSNBC's freaking out last night at the results, which is what always happens. That seems to be the common thread. Look, I think when you have elections like this and you assume you're going to win, problems happen. And it was fun to watch. But also, Will, we brought up during the break, we were discussing, it turned very sinister, very evil, very quickly. And Van Jones, who's not known to necessarily pull punches, so you got to give it to him for that, fairly consistent, consistently creates sound bites for us here, had a quote. Now, let's give this a little bit of perspective. Youngkin, who's now going to be running Virginia as a Republican, wasn't the super Trump MAGA candidate. He was a Republican.
He was an outsider.
Yeah, he had some of that swagger about him, but it wasn't like this was, I mean, President Trump did a virtual town hall for him type thing. It was there, but it wasn't front and center. A lot of these campaigns we've seen, or you can even say like a Ron DeSantis, where you feel like before, the Trump world is pretty high profile for him. But that's not what CNN wants you to believe. They want you to believe that this is a direct representation of what they think of the negative of President Trump. But they're going to say it in a way that even those on the left should be kind of disgusted. So this is Van Jones last night as the election started to turn.
Have we seen the emergence of the Delta variant of Trumpism? The Delta variant of Trumpism. In other words, Youngkin, same disease, but spreads a lot faster and can get a lot more places.
The coronavirus in this pandemic have taken more than 5 million lives globally. And to compare your political opponents to something that has killed 5 million people globally, it reminds me of when the Democrats labeled people in MAGA caravans as ISIS, like their caravan, our caravan kind of thing. Or when back in Florida, there was that candidate, Daniel Webster, that got labeled Taliban Dan. The left seems to go to the worst possible level to categorize their opponents as evil, as terrorists, as a plague. Instead of being honest that we're Americans, and they try to say that the Trump philosophy was what was dividing the country. No, I think it's rhetoric like that coming from people on cable news calling people
the coronavirus,
the Delta variant of a political ideology. It's disgusting.
It's pretty gross. And look, I'm not going to say that there hasn't been plenty of stones thrown from the other side as well, from the Republicans as well. I think we need to live in a world where this is not the way it's treated, and we need to get back to where there's some semblance of reality. And I believe that is what, and Dan, you could speak to this, the Virginia voters essentially said. You know, yesterday I said, Virginia was not, socialism blue. They're baby blue. They're Joe Biden blue, even you'd say. They may not be Donald Trump red, but they're maybe Joe Biden blue, and they weren't going to put up with what was being proposed from the Democratic candidate. And it actually shows, and maybe that's a good thing, and this is a good thing, that there are people who are not just voting on party line.
Yeah, Logan, I actually think that message was sent loud and clear by Virginia voters last time. Look, I mean, President Trump was happy to give Glenn Youngkin the endorsement. Glenn Youngkin was happy to accept it. I think that's a normal thing. I think that's a healthy thing. I think it did speak to Trump voters in the state of Virginia. But if you look at the campaign that Glenn Youngkin ran, Logan, it does not look at all like the campaign that CNN suggests it was. It was optimistic by every account. It was winsome by every account. And by the way, I use the word winsome intentionally because his lieutenant governor, Winsome Sears, an incredibly impressive candidate, a female immigrant from Jamaica, someone who maybe we should talk about a little bit more. But the campaign was optimistic, Logan. And here's, I think, the thing that both Republicans and Democrats should take away from it. It wasn't politician-centric, and that's not aimed at President Trump or even Glenn Youngkin or Terry McAuliffe. It wasn't politician-centric. It was voter-centric. And Glenn Youngkin saw that voters in his district were incredibly concerned about the education of their children, and he spoke directly to that message. Logan, I think if both parties would start doing more of that, we'd have a healthier system.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go ahead. We got so many calls. Maybe we should take some phone calls, try to clear up some lines so more of you can call in. Definitely a celebratory mood, it seems like, from a lot of our callers. Let's go to Nate, who's calling in New Hampshire on line 5. Nate, welcome.
Yes, thanks for taking my call. I just wanted to say that I was very happy about the results over there in Virginia, and I think this, the same thing is going to happen in the midterms. I think people are unhappy and frustrated with, what's going on with our country and with, the Biden's agenda and COVID and there's so many things that I think we're frustrated with that is going on.
Thank you, Nate.
Nate brings up the Biden agenda, and Dan had touched on this earlier, but a lot of people see this as a rebuke on the way that things have been going in Washington, D.C. We've seen poll numbers about the Biden administration tanking. We've seen the support of their agenda tanking. We've seen these negotiations drag out with the reconciliation and infrastructure bills that they're trying to put forward, with things like the IRS spying on your bank accounts and the social programs that don't really have anything to do with infrastructure per se. But this should be a clear message for Democrats as they're getting ready for 2022 that maybe we don't need to be so heavily tied to all this social spending. But that message isn't necessarily getting across to all the Democrats that are in Congress. We hear that Nancy Pelosi has already said this won't affect their agenda, but Senator Dick Durbin tried to use it in a very cleverly spun way that the loss of Terry McAuliffe should mean that they need to double down to get the work done, and he said that this morning. This is Bite 30.
Terry McAuliffe has been saying for weeks that his fate was tied to the progress of negotiations here on Capitol Hill. And there ought to be a clear message to my party and all those who support it to get the job done.
Yeah, get the job done is right. And I think there's a lot of people who are deeply concerned. Look, I know a lot of Biden voters, friends with lots of them. And my friend group is certainly large in terms of political spectrum. And I respect everybody. I don't see a lot of, I see a lot of this. I like him better than Trump, but I'm not his biggest fan. However, for Biden, I think that's the kind of rhetoric you hear, Than, in D.C. 3 years into a presidency, when everyone's starting to get sick of even their own guy. That's not something you usually hear 9, 10, 11 months in.
Logan, only in D.C. could you have a result like last night and get a reaction like you got from Speaker Pelosi and Dick Durbin that, maybe we need to double down even harder on the agenda that voters in a blue state and in a purple state rejected very conclusively last night. Look, Logan, I think if you want to see what the reaction will be from people who actually have to go in front of the voters that you're talking about and make the case that they're the best one to keep that message forward, you need to look at places like West Virginia and Joe Manchin. You need to look at places like the suburban precinct precincts that we talked about last night or yesterday on this show. Logan, Glenn Youngkin won all of those counties that we talked about by 10 to 15%. Voters in those districts clearly took a look at the agenda and said, look, we might even like this guy. We might like President Biden. We don't like his agenda, and we want him to moderate it. So, look, I don't think you're going to get the vote from Joe Manchin on something like that massive reconciliation bill. Or quite frankly, Logan, I don't even know if you can get it through the House at this point.
Yeah, I mean, we have a pretty moderate world. I think a lot of people in our country, I think a lot of people don't realize how many people are out there that are not towing a party line and are voting how they feel in that specific election about that specific candidate's agenda. And I think it's hard when you have your CNNs and your Fox Newses, when you have your MSNBCs and your Newsmax, to not think the world is just red and blue, very hard-lined. And what this election should tell a lot of you is that that is not the case. That, as Than said, the suburbs are full of a lot of moderates who are ready to vote for people who will help their families and will not be ultra-progressive or maybe ultra-conservative. There are places for these candidates in this country. I think we need to look at diving way deeper into that.
And the messaging confusion within the Democrat Party right now is very stark, because we played what Senator Durbin said, and we hear what Nancy Pelosi said, and we heard what Kamala Harris said, but this is what you referenced earlier from President Biden. Yeah. And while Durbin is saying if we'd gotten the negotiations forward, maybe there would have been a victory, President Biden's saying the opposite in Byte 47.
I don't believe, and I've not seen any evidence that whether or not I am doing well or poorly, whether or not I've got my agenda passed or not, is going to have any real impact on winning or losing. Even if we had passed my agenda, I wouldn't claim we won because Biden's agenda passed.
Look, you got to say something about Joe Biden. Sometimes the guy is maybe a little too honest in his statement, which is, I don't know, I've never seen any evidence of whether I'm doing well or poorly. You don't say that when you're the president or there's political things. You don't say I'm doing poorly ever, or even put that in people's minds. Pretty interesting that he would even say that, or whether that's going to have any impact on winning or losing. And then to converse that, how long is that Kamala Harris clip? We can play that again. Let's go Byte 7 from Kamala Harris.
Because you see, what happens in Virginia will in large part determine what happens in 2022, 2024, and on.
And look, phone lines are jammed right now because I know a lot of you have a lot to say. We're going to take as many of those calls as we can. Coming up next segment is Harry Hutchinson. He's going to join us to talk about another historic win out of Virginia. You may have heard about it. Than briefly mentioned it. Of course, it's not making your mainstream news that much. We're going to talk about it because it's a big deal. We're going to have that in the next little tease. We'll have that in the next segment. Later in the show, Rick Grinnell is going to be joining us. I have a feeling he has a lot to say about this. Just a hunch. Just a hunch, he's got a lot to say about this. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Welcome back to Secula. We are obviously discussing the historic elections coming out of Virginia and even potentially out of New Jersey. I'd say even with it being neck and neck, that's historic enough coming out of New Jersey. As, look, in my lifetime, this is what happens. You know, we talked about this earlier. This is kind of how it's supposed to work.
The system's working pretty well when you have a sweeping change in 2020, and then you see an agenda start going forward. And while all the media wanted people to believe that no Republican could ever win in the United States of America again, you start to see these close races. Why? Because the agenda that's being put forward, one, isn't fully what was necessarily sold to the public during the campaign, and two, it's not working out the way they expected it. So what does the American people do? They go vote, as they have the right to do, and they vote for change. And that's what we saw last night.
Sure. And we're joined by Harry Hutchinson. And we're going to discuss a couple things. A historic win also out of Virginia for the Virginia Lieutenant Governor as Winsome Sears becomes the first female and woman of color in the office entirely in the state of the history of the Commonwealth of Virginia.
Right.
To clarify that, not just this time or whatever it is, not just first person, first female and woman of color to be in this position. It's a big deal, one that you're not seeing as the major headlines. I think it's a huge deal. We need to discuss that, as well as the looming critical race theory concept that I think a lot of us have had a lot of questions about. Defining it's been hard. There's been, obviously, on the left and the right, there's been a, is this a real thing? Is this just a political tactic? I've been involved with schools. I've seen some of the stuff firsthand. I know that it is happening in some ways in schools. And it's not an act of fiction. And I think a lot of people hear those words, and it's not unlike a lot of things where, of course, you want to be compassionate and considerate. But clearly when Virginia not only elects the first woman of color, also rebukes the concept of having this in their schools, that narrative doesn't really fit anymore, Harry. You can't say, oh, well, this is clearly just white voters who decided they didn't like critical race theory. This is specifically voters who said they didn't really like the critical race theory concept, but also they're electing the first woman of color. So how does that, it doesn't fit anyone's narrative.
Well, it doesn't. And we should also keep in mind that many of the suburban voters who voted for Youngkin and the Republicans, they voted for Biden in 2020.
Right.
They were upset because their concerns about critical race theory, school safety, sexual assaults at school, those concerns were not being taken seriously. And so we've had commentator after commentator say that critical race theory is not taught in Virginia. Terry McAuliffe has said critical race theory is not being taught in Virginia, except Terry McAuliffe introduced critical race theory in a memo that he sent out from the Department of Education in 2015.
Yeah.
And if you look at Loudoun County websites, you will find evidence that critical race theory is indeed being taught in Virginia. So when the Democrats claim that concern for critical race theory is simply a dog whistle for racism, they are indeed mistaken. And in my view, they have engaged in an outright fabrication. And the leading fabricator has always been Terry McAuliffe himself.
Yeah, I think that's one of the big problems with the labeling of something like critical race theory. It's not like you're flipping through a book and you're going to say, here we are, we're at the critical race theory chapter of this book. That's not how this works. It is it's curriculum-wide. It's a concept more than it is a curriculum. And I think that is that's the problem. I think it's the disconnect with a lot of people. Does it exist in the sense of, again, you're flipping to the book and going, now, kids, we get to critical race. That's not how it works. It's an overall mindset, if you will, of a school.
I think that is correct. Yeah. And I think many commentators and many Democrats are confused because critical race theory originated in so-called critical theory, which then became critical legal theory, and then they simply have conflated critical legal theory, which is a very academic theory, started at Harvard Law School with critical race theory. But If you go to the Loudoun County website, it is currently hosting a lesson plan explicitly teaching critical race theory to kids. The Virginia Department of Education is currently promoting critical race theory on its website. And so it's very imperative, I think, for everyone in the country to become engaged in what their kids are being taught in public and in private schools. Because many times when critical race theory is being taught, the proponents of critical race theory, they use so-called softer language,
right.
Racially inclusive language or whatever.
That's it, stuff that sounds good, stuff that all parents want.
And so sometimes it seems quite innocent, but at the bottom line, it is grounded in Marxism, cultural Marxism, and Marxist theory.
Well, and one problem that we see is when the left and people in the media start playing a gotcha game with parents. They'll find a parent that's speaking at a school board that's very passionate about their children's education, and they'll find a flaw in maybe the inarticulate way they were discussing critical race theory, because critical race theory, as Harry mentioned, is something that's kind of evolving or floating through because it's an ideology. It doesn't have, like you brought up, stamped, this is the section about critical race theory. So maybe they say something a little inarticulate or something that isn't precise, and then the left will jump on that and be like, see, they don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah.
That doesn't exist.
Like the school board that said there needs to be two sides of the Holocaust discussion.
And therefore, then the parent, they are basically saying, doesn't get to have a say because they don't fully know what they're talking about in what their children are being taught. But that's a false narrative. Of course the parent should have say. Of course the parent should become more involved and learn about what's being taught. And if they have a problem with it, then they should have the right to go there and speak that. But instead, the left and the elite, as Harry always talks about, don't want the parents to have that because they want the children to be more a subject of the state.
Yeah, one thing we need to discuss before we get to break here is obviously that win coming out of Virginia, also for Winsome Sears. I think that that is, again, not necessarily your front page news, Harry, because, again, I don't think it fits the narrative. And we need to find some clips. I'm sure if we have clips pulled from her acceptance speech, which was unbelievable. It was an emotional, patriotic. Again, this is a woman from Jamaica who won the Virginia. I mean, think about it that way. A woman from Jamaica just won this position and became the first woman of color and the first woman in general.
Right. Yes. Yeah. The first female to hold the position.
To hold the position.
Lieutenant governor in the Commonwealth.
Virginia. This is a massive deal. And we can't, just because it's a more conservative candidate, it can't just become something that it's swept under the rug.
Absolutely. So in the dispute around critical race theory, many Democrats have gone ballistic claiming that Republicans are the true racists. And yet it is a Republican who is replacing the current governor of Virginia who has been caught in blackface and a KKK uniform. It's a Republican woman who has become the first Jamaican, African-American lieutenant governor in Virginia history. We have also an attorney general who has been elected, who is a Cuban-American. Yeah. And so at the end of the day, you should look at the Republican administration going forward because it is highly representative, even if we look at racial terms, of the populace of the state of Virginia, contrary to what the Democrats are saying.
Absolutely. We're going to have more of that discussion as well. The second half hour of Seculo also joining us. Rick Grinnell will be on the show. I'm sure he's got a lot to say. Thank you, Harry. We'll be right back with more on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in
keeping you informed and engaged. Now, more than ever, this is Seculo. And now your host, Logan Seculo.
Welcome back to Seculo. If you're just joining us, we're obviously talking about the Virginia elections, the historic Virginia elections, not only seeing the governor's race go to a Republican after a strong showing and a clear-cut victory by Joe Biden just a year ago. I mean, I know it's been a long year, everyone, but that was just a year ago. And then we're 1 year away now. So think about it. We're halfway through to the midterm elections. There is so much to cover, and you had in New Jersey at least a very close race. Now, it looks like it is probably going to go for the Democrat as the trends seem to be headed that way, but that shouldn't have been in the discussion, and that's something we talked about with Dan. It's pretty wild that this is happening in the world of politics, and if you're interested in politics, hopefully this is fun. These are the nights that are interesting to watch the news because you don't think about Virginia as being something that the world should care about. You know who made them care about it? Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, President Obama, who all made the pilgrimage to Virginia to try. That should have been the first sign that this wasn't going to go the way they wanted it to go. Because you don't roll out those heavy hitters, and then President Trump doesn't tell a town hall. You know, it just doesn't work that way.
And a quick update on New Jersey. When we started the show, the incumbent Democrat Phil Murphy was still in the lead by about 1,500 votes. According to the New York Times count that says updated 8 minutes ago, with 88% reported, the Republican is now back up by about 400 votes. So this is going to be a neck and neck to the finish line. It's still not been called, but the Republican has gone back up in the vote tally by about 400 votes. So this isn't over.
It's not over. But even
the fact that it's that close, my goodness.
Is pretty wild to think about. And we're going to have, in the next segment, we're going to have Rick Grinnell on. We do have a ton of you have been on the phone. Let's try to get a couple of you because I feel bad. Let's go first. Let's go first to Doug in Ohio. Doug, you've been hold about half an hour. And those who have been a hold half an hour, we're going to get to you next. Doug, you're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call. I just wanted to say I'm a father of three from Ohio. MAGA is alive and well. Thank you so much, Mr. Seculo, and your entire team. And I want to say especially big thank you to the people, the wonderful people in the great state of Virginia. My children, thank you. I thank you. I feel a shift. Let's go. Let's keep this moving.
Doug, I appreciate you calling in. I appreciate your comments. What's interesting is he said, the MAGA movement is alive and well. I'd say that is true and accurate because, look, I just maybe came from the Keys of Florida, and I will tell you, it's very alive there. But Than, this wasn't, we only have a minute, this wasn't necessarily the most MAGA of elections. And that's something that I think we need to look to also as conservatives and go, it doesn't all always have to be this way. You can be running on things like education. We're going to discuss that next segment with Rick Grinnell. It doesn't all have to be bombastic and rude and aggressive. It can be a more compassionate look at something.
Well, it was a coalition, Logan. I mean, very conclusively. That's just a fact. It's not even really analysis. If you look at Western Virginia, you look at Southwestern Virginia, the typical Trump voter, even one who would call themselves, MAGA world, they all came out heavily for Glenn Youngkin. But so did the suburban soccer mom, so to speak, who voted for Joe Biden last time. Logan, look, in places like Virginia, that's the only way a Republican wins election is if they build a coalition. And like we talked about earlier, if they talk about real issues facing real people and put real solutions for it. I mean, just briefly, Logan, you talked with Harry about CRT. I mean, schools were closed for 18 months. Parents were literally the teachers of their children. So for a candidate to come in and tell the people who have been teaching their own children for the last 18 months, you have no role here, that was just a complete disconnect. And Glenn Youngkin was able to build that coalition.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that more when we get back with Rick Grinnell on the show, as well as showing some more sound bites. We got some great sound bites from last night. And we're going to play them for you. And those who want to call in, you can. I will be honest with you. Unless you're calling from Virginia or you're calling from New Jersey, you may be holding for a little while. Because we're going to get to them in the last segment of the show. So if you're on hold right now, I apologize. We got Rick Grinnell coming up next. And I want to hear what he has to say. Then we'll get to you. 1-800-684-3110. Hey, beyond this, the ACLJ, beyond politics and news, the ACLJ is doing incredible work around the world and could use your support. Go to ACLJ.org right now. We're in the middle of a matching challenge, which means every donation made is effectively matched by another one of our great members. So again, right now, that's at ACLJ.org. We'll be right back.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our matching challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Secula. We are joined now by Rick Grinnell. Rick Grinnell, Rick, I don't even feel like I need to set this up because I feel like you got a lot to say. Obviously, a night to remember last night in Virginia. So let's just get your general thoughts, and then we'll jump right in to some of the reasons why this happened.
Look, I think it's all about parents. I think parents have been watching their kids in Zoom school for a full year, and they got an education on what's been happening inside the schools. We know that our kids are being taught to hate America. They're being taught that America is not a great place. And I think parents are really angry about it. And so the Biden overreach of the last several months and the left's really inability to see that they're ruining so many of the great policies that Trump was able to accomplish have really convinced just the typical suburban voter that they need to vote Republican. They need to be able to have a say in their child's education, and the left is not letting them do it.
Yeah, it's pretty phenomenal to see. And look, I was talking to these guys just earlier in the show. It actually does show you, based on the numbers, the percentages, that there's still a good amount of people who, because we're so plugged into politics, who are voting on the candidate and voting on the position and are voting for specifically when things affect their family, not just I vote Republican every time, I vote Democrat every time. This was a rebuke of what was going on in Virginia and what's happening around the country. Obviously, we have small kids. I've seen the Zoom schooling firsthand. Thankfully, my kids have been back to school for a while now, but they've had to go back. And when they've had to go back, and some of that's been due to quarantining and a few things for like a week, if something happened at school, you quickly remember not just what's being taught in school, but also how that just did not work and how it's just straight up chaos. But you do see a voter who is still on that line, who is not voting party line. I think that's pretty interesting.
Yeah, I also would add one thing is that for Terry McAuliffe, who is the consummate Democrat, former governor, right. He really went all in on the anti-Trump message. He had Kamala Harris, Joe Biden, Barack Obama. He had all of the Democrat superstars coming in. And yet the Virginia voters said, I think that that's an overreach, that the Democratic message is not a good one for my family and for my kids. And so even in the face of all of the money and all of the big popular Democrats coming into the state, Virginia voters rejected what I would say is an overreach and an embrace of wokeism. And what we're seeing is a rejection of that. And now a whole bunch of people across the United States are very nervous about being too close to the cancel culture, the woke culture, and to denying parents the ability to get involved in their kids' education.
Well, and that, Rick, was one of the biggest turning points, I feel like, for the entire race, was that, you know, Terry McAuliffe had said in the debate that I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach. Now, that's a local issue that turned out a lot of people, but that bite, and I'm going to play it because just hearing it is shocking. So let's go ahead and play it, and then I've got a question for you.
I don't think parents should be telling schools what they should teach.
So the Democrat running for that governorship was rejected because largely of that statement. But we're hearing politicians all over the country saying a very similar message in their local elections, at their local school boards. What's your take on what the rest of the country is going to say to those politicians when they hear similar language?
It's such a great question, and let me answer it by just talking about what's happening here in California. I have never seen so many parents, and I don't even know if these parents are Republican or Democrat, but overwhelming number of parents have decided to get involved in their school boards, to either run for school board or to show up at a school board meeting. That's unprecedented. Usually people just let it go.
Yeah.
But after a year of Zoom school, I think there's a big damage. Here in California, I've launched this organization called Fix California. Hopefully people will go to fixcalifornia.com. And in that, we have a ballot initiative next year to ask the voters of California, do you want to upend the way we fund education and have the $13,000 per year per student that the state spends be given to the parents and let the parents choose where their kid is going to be educated? That'll upend our schools because it will create competition, much needed competition. We Americans know competition is a good thing, but in our school system, we currently don't have competition.
Yeah, and I think that is a great point. And it's a point that when you look at this from a bigger point of view, you know, Harry, we've discussed this now for the last few segments of whether people believed in critical race theory, whether they did not believe in critical race theory, whether that was going to be the voting topic, whether that was going to be what people cared about. I think Rick kind of brought it, you know, full spectrum here and saying, no, it wasn't necessarily specifically just that concept. It was education of kids has become front and center. I liked the fact, Rick, that you said that a lot of this is because now with Zoom school, maybe a lot of us were sitting over the shoulder of our kids and could actually hear what was going on.
I think that's correct. And I also think that because of that, and I think Rick's correct in this, that many parents now favor some form of school choice. Keep in mind that for 18 months in some jurisdictions, parents had no choice but to teach their kids or help them learn at home. And so they're now saying, why don't I have access to that money? And then I can send my child to the school that I prefer. This is an issue that the ACLJ has been involved in for decades. We filed a brief in the Carson versus Macon case, which involves the possibility of school choice in Maine. And we have been very supportive of efforts by parents throughout the country to engineer, if you will, school choice in their own district. So I think this issue is going to be with us for a very long time.
Yeah, that issue, Rick, and as well as people forget, a year ago, right before the election, or you know, the 1776 commission had come to play from President Trump. Not something that got a lot of attention. Obviously, the elections, how everything had consequences and things changed. But clearly, the voters do care about this.
Look, I think it's just, you know, our parents are busy and they've had faith in the fact that our schools are educating the children and that they don't have to be involved. But all of that changed with Zoom school because there was a real crash, an education about what was being taught and a realization at the same time that many of our kids are growing to hate America or thinking that we're a terrible place. And they're ill-equipped for the job world. And so I think all of this has come together at a point where parents are saying, you know what, I got to take back control. I need to get involved. It's more my responsibility. They're showing up at school board meetings like never before.
Yeah, I mean, we are seeing those massive crowds. Sometimes gets a little chaotic, but you know what? It's part of the process. We're seeing people get involved, which in general can be a really great thing to get involved more in what your kids are learning. I know as a dad of three, you know, kids who are now in elementary school, it does become chaotic to know what exactly who's learning where. You have to, and your kids, especially when they're at that age. Look, this stuff is happening in elementary school. Even you try to like kind of grill your kids at the end of the night and be like, "What'd you learn?" And usually, if you have small kids, you know the answers are, "I don't know, I'm not sure, nothing, whatever. We had fun. We recessed. Lunch was good. Get pizza and Chick-fil-A." That's the conversation you have, and you're trying to get out. Well, what did you learn? And then you know, I don't know. I made a drawing. It was fun. Baby Yoda. Like there isn't a much of that conversation. So now people have seen it. Well, it's a different world.
Well, and one interesting thing that Rick brought up earlier was that he's saying parents are wanting to get involved. He doesn't know if they're Democrats or Republicans or what their ideology is, but they're understanding the importance of parents being involved in their children's education. And there was something that happened a few weeks back where the president of the American Teachers Federation, who is the big teachers union, she actually spoke at the last rally for Terry McAuliffe and got a lot of criticism that he was showcasing the teachers union when it was all about education. But she tweeted an article about Detroit schools where parents were making the hard choice to send their kids to a different district because they had mask mandates in place in the district they wanted their kids to go to, because the parents had to make a hard choice about what was the best decision for their kids. The teachers union president tweeted this out saying parents are making the hard choice for their children. She was endorsing what we've been saying all along, that school choice should be in the hands of the parents because they can make the best decision for what's right for their children's education. Now, they would never say that in public, that they were endorsing what we say, but that's exactly what's going on. Regardless of ideology, parents know best for their kids.
Absolutely. Thank you, Rick. I appreciate you joining us. I look forward to hearing more on your thoughts on this election and what this means also for the future. I know that's something people are going to be very curious about in the next 12 months. So we're going to see all that plays out in 12 and 24 and 36 months. And then, you know, we're all right back at it. So we'll be discussing that ad nauseum, I'm sure, here on Secula. We do have a few lines open right now. We're going to take as many calls as we can in the last segment of the show. So if you want to call and not wait all that long, 1-800-684-3110.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
final segment of Seculo for the day. I want to thank everyone who's joined us. Obviously, all of you have called in. Than Bennett, Washington, D.C., Rick Grinnell, Harry Hutchinson, Will's been joining me. Will, by the way, they're no executive producer of this show. He just comes on this side of the box when I'm hosting, which I appreciate because I usually need some backup, and I appreciate when he does that. So just wanted to make sure people know that. He's here each and every day, just right over there, beyond the glass. There's a whole group of people beyond the glass. I want to give some love to people beyond the glass. I would go through y'all by name, but I can't see everybody, so I feel bad. You got Matt, you got Tim, you got Allie, you got Ray, Brandon, Mitch, I don't know who else is in there. And if you're in there, thank you for all that you do. Let's take some phone calls. Look, they got to deal with your phone calls. So you got to give that to Matt. He's got to deal with all of you guys who call in. 1-800-684-3110. Let's go in order. Let's go to Julie, who's calling in Oregon. Julie, you're going to hold 45 minutes. I don't know if we can send you something, but we probably should. So figure that out. Stay on hold after, and we're going to send you something. I'm not sure what. You win. Julie, you're on the air.
Thank you. Hello, gentlemen. Thank you for all of your work, and I'm so happy to go after Rick Grinnell. totally love him. Awesome. I am calling from the very liberal state of Oregon, and I'm going to talk fast because I want you to have time enough to play the Kamala Harris one more time. we're sick to death of everything happening here in Oregon, everything going unchecked, the violence, lawlessness, homelessness. And so I was so pleased about Youngkin last night. And Winsome Sears, just like you said, very literally winsome, delightful, that both of them were thankful to the Lord. And then when Youngkin was giving his victory speech at the end, he said, together, four times. I was so happy that I woke my husband up, brought him out of bed, and we went off and set off illegal fireworks last night.
People thought it was for the World Series win, but no, it was because of the elections in Virginia, which is wow, that's great, Julie. Thank you so much for comments. We actually do have some of those bites, I believe, from those speeches, because I did say those were important. I think we need to hear. Will, what do we got?
That's right. So this is from the Lieutenant Governor-elect Winsome Sears, and I mean, if you can go...
Again, if you didn't hear... A Jamaican-born woman, a Marine, and the first woman and person of color to be, or woman of color to be elected Lieutenant Governor of Virginia. So you're talking about breaking 10 glass ceilings in this while, and here's some of her speech. We got it?
Yes. So we're going to play Bite 48. And if you have time this afternoon, I encourage everyone, go back and watch this speech. The media should have been focused on her all night last night. Instead, they were focused on calling this a racist win in Virginia, but instead
the Delta virus, the Delta variant
of Trumpism. But let's go ahead and play Bite 48.
What you are looking at is the American dream. The American dream. When my father came to this country, August 11th of 1963, he came at the height of the civil rights movement from Jamaica. He came and I said to him, but it was such a bad time for us. Why did you come? And he said, because America was where the jobs and the opportunities were.
So great speech, just a small segment of the speech from Winsome Sears. Harry, again, another moment that we should not be downplaying. I think this is a huge deal. And someone obviously born in Jamaica gets himself to America in the 60s and is now lieutenant governor after serving our country, is now lieutenant governor of a state like Virginia, which has, an interesting past.
Absolutely. So this is a moment in U.S. history that we should all celebrate. But it's also important to keep in mind that this is a moment in U.S. history that does not fit a prescribed narrative that is coming from the left.
Right.
The left basically has said that America is irredeemable. It's irredeemably racist. And yet, one of the best speeches in my living memory comes from an African-American elected as a Republican in the state of Virginia. That was a state that 20, 30 years ago, I wouldn't even consider living in. But if you look at Virginia today, if you look at much of the South today, it is still a land of opportunity, and it's a land of opportunity for every single American who wishes to take advantage of it.
Absolutely. I appreciate all those statements, Harry. Let's get through these last few calls of the day. Roberta's calling Colorado. Roberta, you're on the air. Thanks for holding for so long. We'll also get you something if we can. I think you got everything.
I just really quick wanted to say thank you to all of the poll watchers. Thank you to all of the voters. And may we go forward and be more pro-life voters.
Yeah, Roberta, then we're straight to the point. I think that's an interesting comment as well to talk about life. There's obviously a lot happening. And look, hopefully this also, I know there was so much debate after the chaos of the last election. You should at least have some bit of calm knowing that there are some of these elections that are handled appropriately. We didn't even know if we'd have a result last night, and we had results very quickly and uncontested. So I think that is a good thing moving forward, hopefully, for the future of elections in general. Let's take this last call from the state of Virginia. Here's Sandra from Mount Vernon. You're on the air.
Hi, I'm 84 years old, and I stood in the rain handing out Republican ballots from 5:45 to 3:30 yesterday in a very liberal area of Alexandria, and many, many people took the ballot and gave me a thumbs up, and I was very encouraged.
Yeah.
And I'm so thankful to God that he pulled it off for us.
Well, Sandra, I think that is actually an interesting point. Would you live in Mount Vernon, which obviously a lot of us know historically is, you know, the home of George Washington, but a very liberal area, as you said. Clearly, and I'll pitch to Than before we wrap up, just being a very liberal area didn't mean everything in this election, and that really is something that's pretty poignant.
Yeah, I live pretty close to Sandra Logan, so I appreciate her. Look, last night's a great example of this. In America, the people still have the power. And like you said a minute ago, Logan, there are ways to utilize that. You utilize it at the ballot box. And if I could, just briefly, sure. I think to tie to the work of the ACLJ, you not only have to go to the ballot box and elect people who will address problems that are facing your real life, but Logan, once they're here or once they're in the state house, you got to continue to engage them. You've got to partner with groups like the ACLJ and engage in advocacy, because look, you have to follow through and make sure that the things that the politicians tell you they're going to do, they're going to do. So thank you to Sandra. Thank you to the people that engage. And now here's the truth, Logan. The real work starts. We've got to make sure that we advance sound policy that helps real people.
Yeah, absolutely. You can't just rest on a win for conservatives, for your conservative point of view. And obviously, we've never told you who to vote for. We will never tell you who to vote for on this show. But obviously, some more represent, we know, our audience. There are some people who are more representative by conservatives. But look, we've had plenty of Democrats on as well. We have a new series coming out, Revenge of the Taliban, that has people from both sides of the political spectrum. People who were in the Trump administration and people who specifically ran against President Trump. So we're always going to give you our worldview at the ACLJ. And I appreciate everyone who listened to this show. I know today is a somewhat celebratory day for a lot of people, whether you're a fan of the Atlanta Braves or whether you're a conservative who was watching the news all night. It was an interesting night, to say the least. And we appreciate everyone who supports the work of the ACLJ. And again, I gave you a run through of everyone that's just beyond this glass. Beyond that room is hundreds of people who do incredible work here. Make sure that your voice is being heard in Washington, D.C. and around the planet. And that's just the truth. We can't do that without the support of the people like you who support the work of the ACLJ. This is not just people, you know, you writing big checks and supporting. We are run, and we are our contributors who give $20, $10, $15. That is the lifeblood of the organization. We appreciate everyone who does that at ACLJ.org. Specifically now, when you do have some of those bigger donors saying, we will match whatever is donated. So we appreciate that. Go to ACLJ.org, support the work, but not only support the work, check out the incredible content. And we'll be back tomorrow on Seculo.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.